they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
For the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? Start over, we could start over.
Oh, for the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over, we could start over, we could start over. 'Cause there's a kind of love that God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you.
The kind of love that God only
trying to find a true north, but everything's the wrong way around. Busy breaking down the walls just to build a fence, try to see the other side, but no one's bending. We're way too shy to bare our souls, so we shout opinions, but nobody listens.
For heaven's sake, we're missing hope. We're saving face and throwing stones. So take your mistakes, just let them go. Cause though we all wear those broken halos. Broken halos.
Untangle all the wires, let's stretch out. Thought I knew how love was supposed to feel, but then you changed my mind and made it real. Looking back on all that we've been through, I wouldn't change a single day with you. It's not always easy, but look how far we've come. I'll never leave it. Cause on the day that I met you, you knew that I knew. When I said that I choose you, you know I still do. I love it how we dance through the fire. I love it how we sing in the rain. As long as I'm breathing, I'll be yours through the seasons. Your love is like the spring. It brings me life. Your heart is like the warmth of a summer night. Oh, I know it's not always easy, but when the winter comes, I will always believe in us. On the day that I met you, you knew that I knew. When I said that I choose you, be yours through the seasons.
Day after day, night after night, I will be yours, you will be mine. Bring on the lows, bring on the highs.
always be easy, but look how far we've come, and I'm never leaving. Cause
on the day that I met you, you knew that I knew
that I knew.
When I said that I choose you, you know I still do. Love it how we dance to the flies.
But it's good to be in this place. Whoa, it's good to hear my voice too. Praise the Lord. That's for everybody in the back that was already falling asleep. We just want to go on, but praise God. So as usual, I'd like to open our time together by reading a passage of Scripture as our call into worship. Because, you know, we get to worship God in many different ways. And we can worship God through music, which we'll do in just a moment. We worship God through the hearing of His Word, through reading it. Of course, we worship God when we give and when we pray and when we fellowship. And we have an extended time of fellowship today with our fellowship barbecue lunch, so hopefully you're all ready to stay for that. And we, of course, will end our service today with communion and just remembering the Lord's sacrifice on our behalf. And so we have a lot of other things planned for you today, but it is all designed and planned to lead us into a time of worship. And so let me do that now by reading. This is selected verses from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this part of God's story and the people of Israel is when David, King David, brings the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, inside to the tent that he had set up for God and for, of course, the Ark where God dwelled, so that they would worship there. And so after he had brought the Ark into the tent, it says this. It says, he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. And Asaph was the chief of them. It goes on to say that on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers, and then he gives them a song to sing. I'd like to read part of that song to you. Again, this is our call into worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him and sing praises to him and tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. And let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever and the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his God, that you called King David to lead in worship and to designate others to help the congregation sing and praise you. Thank you for the beautiful words of truth in this song from King David. Father, may we follow with these commands, these precepts, God, that we would sing praises to you because you are holy. You alone are the holy God to whom we sing, to whom we praise, and to whom we lift up holy hands and our voices. So God, this time of worship through song is for you. May the music stir our spirit. May the words sink deep into our hearts that we may be transformed even as we offer ourselves up to worship to you. Father God, this time is for you. And so we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, let's worship the Lord together. we realize that he paid a debt that we could not pay. Jesus, we thank you for this time of worship, God. What a privilege it is, God, to sing songs to you, songs of truth that remind us that in you we have new life and you give it to us abundantly. God, we have celebrated that today, but we all know it's because, Jesus, you gave your life that we may have life and have it in this life and the hope of life to come. Father, we celebrate that new life this morning. So, God, we give you the glory. Continue to bless us as we worship you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you.
Yeah, typically. Okay.
It's just the right one. That's it.
Yep. Got it.
If you need to go back, use that. It'll be on for you.
Okay.
Right.
Good to go.
If we could find our way back to our seats. Praise the Lord. Good. All right. Praise the Lord for some great fellowship. Why don't we find our way back to our seats? We'll just take a few minutes of what we call church life. Like herding cats, right?
Right.
I'm still on, yeah. We praise God. And the young ones get to go down the hall, and we praise God for them. So I just want to get us caught up on a few things we call church life. Of course, learn, grow, and serve. Those are our core values here at Trinity. And we learn the truth, we grow in faith, and we serve one another. That is how we pursue discipleship here at Trinity. Just a few things going on. Make sure that if you are not already signed up to receive text messages, you can simply text that word, join Trinity, to that number, 84576, and you'll just go through that process. Yep, and you'll receive some updates, all right? And that's like the best way to get updated on what's going on here at the Life of Trinity. Also, we have a prayer email, and you can find all that at our website, trinityallenwood.com. Of course, today we will end our service with communion, and we will take the cup and the bread together around the Lord's table, remembering his sacrifice. And then after that, please make sure you stay for our fellowship lunch, for our barbecue. And whether you brought food or not, please, this is open for everybody, and everybody can stay for this. We love to do this, especially after communion, because in the ancient church, they had the big agape feast, and they always took time as part of that to remember the Lord's sacrifice. But then they would have a big meal together in fellowship and just rejoice in the new life that they have because of Jesus. So we praise God for that. This is new. You know, we support the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission as one of our local missionary partners. And they're doing something special this year on Saturday, May 11th. It's coming up soon from 12 to 2. It's a free spaghetti lunch. And it's open for everybody. Somebody said, already. And so it sounds good. And so that's at St. Paul's in Ocean Grove, a beautiful church. You've never been there, but you need to reserve your seat, so there's a number there. But if you're interested, there are flyers out on our missions table. You can just take one of them. It's got all this information. So if you're interested, you can go ahead and sign up for that, right, and take advantage of that. We have our, not sure what's going on with that, but yeah, that's okay. We have our spring cleanup day that's coming up on May 18th. You know, I think most of you are more excited about the free spaghetti dinner than the cleanup, but that's okay. This is, we try to do this a couple times a year, and we do our cleanup. So there's plenty to do inside and outside, stuff for projects for everybody. So make a note of that. May 18th, you'll get some updates for that as well. From 6:30 to 7:30 on Wednesday nights, we have our Wednesday night workshop. That's in conjunction with our sermon series that's been going on. And we meet right here at the church for that hour, and then after that is our, after that is our prayer gathering. So we always have, let's see if I can do this, we always have our prayer gathering, and I'll keep that up. Let me know if that does better. And so we didn't want to stop that, of course, right? And so we have this workshop, which helps us sort of unpack what we're learning on the Sundays, right? And so we get together in the workshop. So what I'm going to do is turn that off.
That's enough of that. And so make sure that you put that on your calendar, right? We have a few more left, so that's from that. So we also have this is something that we did last year, and we're bringing that back around together this year. The Open Door Pregnancy Center in Toms River does an annual fundraiser. Called the Baby Bottle Boomerang. Remember that from last year? Amen. And so we will have, starting next Sunday, which is also Mother's Day, so make sure you remember that, from Mother's Day to Father's Day, we hand out these baby bottles, and then you bring them home, and you're going to use those to collect spare change and you know, dollar bills and checks and $100 bills and all of that, right? And then we collect them on Father's Day. So I think it's wonderful that we do that between Mother's Day and Father's Day. So next Sunday, they will be available, and you can sign up to take one. And so all the information will be in the lobby. You can also see Angela, who oversees that for us. So we thank her for that, making that connection. So we praise God for that. So be looking for those. They will be available next time. So right now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce you to Reverend Dr. James Miller. He's been here a number of times, and he is not only a mentor, not only a mentor in the faith and in the ministry, but just a very good friend. And he is currently one of the pastors on staff at the First Baptist Church in Metuchen. And funny story, when I was announcing this last week, Pastor, I forgot the name of First Baptist Metuchen. But I realized it's because I've been here 9 years. Yeah. I was there 8 years.
All right.
Across that threshold. Yep. So all that is like, wait, who are you? Well, we praise God for that.
Amen.
And so I just wanted to bring him up. And, you know, this man is such a stalwart of the faith. He has been at Metuchen this summer for 50 years.
Wow.
50
Thank
years.
You, Lord.
And, you know, there is something to be said about steadfastness and longevity, especially in the ministry, and has created such a foundation. there at First Baptist, and so I've just asked him to come and bless us and bring the word to us this morning. So, Pastor Miller, if you would.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so
much.
If
you have the same problem for whatever reason,
okay,
you can turn it off and use this.
Okay.
All right. If you do.
Very good.
It's probably me.
Whatever.
And then you can use the clicker. Yeah.
I didn't bring my usual tool for fixing audio visual stuff. It's called a hammer.
But yeah, that's great. Right. There you go. That's
anyway. It's good to be here again with you. What a joy. It's always good for us to see Keith and Claudia. We love these guys and just appreciated the 8 years that they spent in Metuchen, and appreciated so much what they brought to the ministry of the church, and I'm just so pleased to see how you have welcomed him in. If you ever don't treat him right, I will be back here. So you better treat him right. So, but it's a pleasure to be here. I've been here, I guess, in the summertime. And we'll be back to Ocean Grove for a little thing at the pavilion in the afternoon one day. I don't remember what date it is. So we've come over here after that, and we've been here in the fall. It was lovely to see the leaves change and everything. And now we're in the springtime. And I woke up, and it's the time of year when all of our cars turn green. So if I'm sounding a little nasally, I'm not contagious. I've been to the doctor. The doctor says it's just pollen, and tough it out. So some of you are in that same problem situation. But it's a joy to open the Word of God for you today. And I'm just going to read a short two verses for you if you want to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I'm just going to read verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. And let's see what the Lord told to Moses. Deuteronomy, I'm reading from NIV, but it should pretty well follow most any translation that you might have. Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13. Let me read this. "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your good." Let's pray. Father, bless your word as we have read it. And we pray that you'd encourage us by the reading of your word. May we be challenged and grow from it, draw strength from it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, many years ago, I read this these verses, and the words that jumped out at me was "for your good." How many times have you been told something that was for your good, right? And sometimes we heed that, and sometimes we don't heed that. But the point is that at times we are told something is for our own good, and I kind of had an experience with that with my first car. Let's see. That's too far. There we go. All right. How many times have you been told something was for your good? There's my first car. All right. It was a little British sports car. My brother had just come home from Vietnam. He took all of his combat pay and bought a 1970 Dodge Challenger. It was purple. And being his little brother, I got to buy this from him. And it was my first car. And the car was a little interesting. It had some stuff kind of stamped in the metal on parts of the engine. The oil cap said, "Use Shell oil," or "Use Shell, oil." And I thought, they just put that there as a whatever. They were in cahoots with Shell, and they stamped that into the oil cap. And then there was another, like, reservoir, and it said, "Use Castrol Girling Green only." Does anybody have the remotest idea what that is? Anybody? No, you've heard the sermon before. My perennial problem. Nobody. Well, I didn't know what it was either. So But I noticed something about the car. The car, it had a hydraulic clutch in it. When you push the clutch down, this was a hydraulic system, and there was this reservoir. But I noticed that about every 6 months, when I pushed the clutch in, all of the hydraulic fluid shot out on the ground. And so I took it back to the place where we bought it from, and it needs a new slave cylinder, and they'd sell me the slave cylinder and install it. And well, in the course of time, I went away to seminary in Denver, Colorado. And I was there for a few months, and I got in the car one day, and you know what happened. I pressed the clutch down, and all of the hydraulic fluid shot out on the ground. But they had in Denver a place that specialized in these British cars. So I went there and I told them the problem. I said, it's the hydraulic system of the clutch. And the guy says, okay. Now I'm expecting the guy to bring out a slave cylinder, you know, all the mechanical stuff. He brings out this little plastic envelope with this little round fiber plug, and he throws it on the counter. And I said, what's that? He said, oh, you don't need the whole slave cylinder. All you need is this little bushing. And just screw it into the slave cylinder, and you're good to go. Now, I'm thinking about this guy back in New Jersey, you know. Good thing there was 2,000 miles in between us. And then the guy pulls out from under the counter this can, and it says Castrol Girling Green. And he says, and of course you'll need this. And he says, why? I gathered very quickly it was just hydraulic brake fluid. A girling, I guess, is brakes in British terminology. He says, oh, well, you see this little plug here? That's an animal fiber. And if you use any other kind of hydraulic fluid, this thing will eat itself out in about 6 months. All right. Okay. Not happy. So I went home and I used the Girling Green, and I owned the car for a couple more years. It never failed on me after that. And what I thought was, you know, the different companies and corporations stamping things on their parts there, that there was just, you know, trying to have they're in cahoots to make some money off it. But I came to the realization that those words, use Castrol Girling Green only, was there for my own good, right? Well, today we want to look at the Word of God. And as I've pointed out, there are things that are for our own good. And as we look at these two verses of Scripture, we find that there are five expectations that God has for us. He says, what has the Lord asked of you? Other translations of Scripture might say demands of you or expects of you. It's all got that same flavor. In other words, these are things that God has told his people that they need to do. You know, God has expectations for his people. Not just Old Testament, but New Testament. And as a matter of fact, these expectations, there's five of them listed here, but every single one of them is reinforced in the pages of the New Testament. They're given to the people of God. They were given to the people of God in Israel. They're given to the people of God in the church. These things are something that God expects of all of us. Expectations are very important. You know, when I go to perform a wedding, I sit the couple down and I talk to them about their expectations. Because sometimes expectations go unspoken. Not a good situation. I had one couple come one time, and the husband-to-be, his expectation was that there weren't going to be any children. And the wife-to-be had a different expectation. You know, some or none. It's pretty hard to find a compromise in that, isn't it? And so I talk to them, what are your expectations? Of course, not in every silly little thing, but in the basic core values of life, we have expectations. And if they go unspoken, it can put us in a problem. And sometimes when we verbalize them, we realize that our expectations are unrealistic. Have you ever done that? When you put it into words, you know, you say, I demand this, and you think about it, and you think, well, that's not really realistic. Sometimes our expectations are unrealistic. And sometimes they go unfulfilled. We have expectations and they're not fulfilled. But these expectations are verbalized by God. They're there. They're not unrealistic. They're there for your good. Now, the thing is, these expectations comprise the worldview of Christian people. The sad thing is that today, people accept the salvation of Jesus. Well, they don't want to go to hell. They don't want to be judged for their sin. And so they're really, really pleased to have this gift of God's grace. But then, somewhere along the line, they shift thinking and move to a secular worldview about life. What is a secular worldview of life? The secular worldview of life says, I'm here to do what makes me happy. Sometimes God's expectations of us kind of cramp our style a little bit. And if we're only aimed at making ourselves happy, that's really why the world is in such a mess today. Everybody's trying to pursue this happiness thing. And they're frustrated because they're not finding it. They're looking in every conceivable place for it. But God has given us expectations that will help us to know how we can best live our lives, what purpose to have in life. And so I pray that you not fall into this trap of accepting his free gift of salvation, but then living according to the worldview says that God doesn't really exist and you just do whatever you can do to make yourself happy. It's not going to work. And many people have found that out. So here we are with five expectations. I won't dwell long on any of them, but they're pretty straightforward. But the first expectation is to fear the Lord, right? It said that right in there. It says, what has he asked you but to fear the Lord your God? What is this fear thing? Is it shrinking back from God in terror that he's going to just send a lightning bolt to turn us into a crispy critter or something like that? That's not what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is to express how much you hold God in awe. And another word for that is worship, right? That's what God expects of us. He expects us to worship him. And he wants us to worship him consistently and regularly. He wants us to know that he is worthy of our worship and he expects us to gather. He does not want the worship of himself to be crowded out by all of our things that we do in chasing our own happiness. Sometimes I realize there's times when you just can't make it to worship for a variety of reasons, but sometimes we're pursuing our own happiness and figure we can go light on the worship of God. Well, does that really match the expectation that God has for you? I don't think so. So where is worship seen in your life? Have other things crowded out the worship of God? Or are you fulfilling God's stated expectation that you should worship him? Well, the passage goes on, and after that, it says to walk in all of his ways. And there we are, walking in his ways. In order to walk in God's ways, you have to hold some things in common, don't you? You have to... Well, even if you're just walking with another person, if you're out of step with that other person, it gets a little awkward at times. God wants you to walk in his ways. You need to share with him the things that are valuable to him. You need to share. And, of course, the Word of God in the New Testament tells us to fellowship with him. It tells us in Acts 2:42 that we're to... it also tells us in Acts 2:42 to... observe the breaking of bread and to pray. That's worship. And then Acts 2:42 as well tells us to gather together in fellowship with our God. And so we walk in his ways. That's fellowship. You fellowship with God. You share in common the things that God has given you to do and to be, and you share his values. You share his priorities. And that sometimes runs contrary to just pleasing yourself and making yourself happy. So where does fellowship with God and with his people, remember it says in the book of Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Why? So that you can fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people. It's very clear. Where do you see that in your life? That you are fellowshipping with God. He wants us to fellowship with him, and people ought to be able to see that we are people that fellowship with our God. Well, we come to a third one, and that's just to love him. All right? Don't skate over that too quickly. Loving God. If you're walking in his ways, that's one thing. That can be a head knowledge thing. You know, there are certain things you know that you shouldn't do, but he says to love him. And that's relationship, isn't it? Love is part of a relationship. And God doesn't want you just to follow things that he's laid down as rules. In the process, he wants you to love him, to have this heartfelt relationship with him where you love him. It says in the New Testament several things about loving God, doesn't it? It says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's relationship. He wants us to love the Lord. And if we don't see that in our lives, if all we see is checking off boxes, oh, I did this, I did this, I did this, well, we don't have much of a relationship with God. You can have a relationship with God that's just checking off boxes. I read so much scripture today. I prayed. I did whatever. I gave my money. That's not what this relationship is. Your relationship is born out of a love for God, and that's where we express it. So, what comes next? Well, what's next? Whoops, I jumped the gun. There you go. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart. Service for God. That's doing things from your heart that he's called us to do and to be. If the first two kind of talk about the things of our head and our heart, which it does, you have to know his ways. You have to obey his ways. But you do it from your heart. But this is the hands part, right? Come on, you can do it. There. That's what we call stewardship. What God has entrusted in your life, you use to help other people. That's where your hands get involved. Serving the Lord with the things that he's given to you. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, to use your gifts to serve God. As you have been given gifts, use them to serve God. As a grandparent, I like to see the different skills and abilities those little grandchildren have come to the fore. And I like to remind them, especially the ones that are a little older, 9 or 7, I remind them that you are really good in this or that, that you have a strength in this area, and God gave that to you. All of the abilities that we have come from God, and we mustn't get a swelled head that, oh, I do this well and I'm great at this. No, everything we have comes from God. So how can we become boastful and proud but to use those things God has given you in stewardship to him? So that's stewardship. That's where the hands get involved, in addition to the head and the heart. Well, where do you see stewardship in your life? How do you see yourself serving God and serving other people? Again, are we back to, oh, I don't have time to do any of that because I'm in the pursuit of happiness. I want to do what makes me happy. And sometimes the things of serving God, well, there's nothing wrong with them, but I'd rather be spending my time and my talents and my abilities in this other area that's going to make me happy. See, God is not necessarily concerned with your happiness, is he? He gives us these expectations so that we can have purpose in life and meaning in life. And when we obey him, that is when we are blessed. And then there's the last one there. It says, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today. And so what's that? Observe his commands. That's discipleship, right? That's obeying the things that God has given you to live by and to ingrain in your values and in your behavior. And he reinforces that in the New Testament. He has told us his command is to go and make disciples. And so discipleship is very much part of his expectation. So it also tells us in 2 Timothy 2:2 that we're to entrust to faithful people the things that have been taught in the Word of God, who will be apt to pass them on to other people. Where is the evidence of this in your life, your discipleship? Who have you discipled? Who are you discipling? Have they passed the faith on to someone else? God wants to know that you're able to say, well, yes, I've done this. I've been faithful to be a disciple and to pass on the teachings of Jesus Christ to other people. So these are God's expectations. And they're there for what? Your good. They're there for your good. So that you don't spin your wheels pursuing something that is not the purpose God has for you. So that you're finding his purpose for you in life, and you find it by fulfilling these expectations. So has God's expectations gone unspoken? Obviously not. We just read them, didn't we? They're spoken. God spelled it out, and he wrote it into his scripture, both the law of Moses and in the New Testament passages. It's all reinforced in both places that these are expectations that God has for all of us. Well, are they unrealistic? No. God is not an unrealistic God. He knows what we are capable of doing. He knows what our failings are, and yet he gives us expectations that with his help we can accomplish these things. Oh, you may do it in different degrees to other people. Don't worry about that. Are you fulfilling the expectations that he has for you? Are they unrealistic expectations for your life? I trust they're not. After all, we want to receive that salvation of Jesus, don't we? We want his grace, not our works. Some people can read this thing and see a bunch of works here. This is not how you come to eternal life. Make no mistake. You fulfill all of these expectations once you've committed your life to Jesus Christ to cleanse your sins away. You don't get to heaven by following these five things. But once you've received the gift of his grace, then you find out the purposes that God has for your life. And so you exercise them within this. Are they unspoken? No. Are they unrealistic? No. Are they unfulfilled? Only you can answer that. And of course, the Lord who sees your heart. Are these expectations unfulfilled? And one day we'll need to give an account of our lives. And it'll be very clear whether we have or have not met God's expectations for us. So I pray that you'll take the word, take it into your hearts, know that it's for your head and your heart and your hands, and know that it's there for your good. Amen. May God bless you with this truth of his word today. Father, we thank you for giving to us the challenge of your expectations. Thank you that you've spelled it out for us. And thank you, Lord, that we don't have to run through life just trying to please ourselves, but that we can find great pleasure in walking with you and following you. So, Lord, we thank you for this and pray that each person here will give consideration. First of all, that Jesus has been the Savior of their lives, that they've trusted in his blood as the only possible payment for our sins, and then have determined to fulfill the expectations you place on us. We give you our praise and our thanks in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is good. We should probably just have Pastor Miller keep talking because he had no problem. Thank you so much for bringing the word. Something for all of us to consider and to think about. And that's part of what we pray before the service as leadership, that the Lord would use his word to transform us, as it says in Romans 12. And I trust that he's been doing that this morning through our worship and, of course, through the teaching, the preaching of God's word. We come to that time now as we close out our service, and we come around the Lord's table. This is called communion, or the breaking of bread, and this is something sacred. It's something that Jesus gives to the church. You know, he gave the church what we call two ordinances, and that was baptism communion. And he instituted communion on the night before he was betrayed. Of course, it's called the Last Supper, when he was celebrating the Passover meal for the last time with his closest of friends in that upper room. And he taught them about love, and he taught them as he washed their feet. And then he also taught them about what was about to happen. They didn't quite understand it just yet. But when he took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks, and then he took the cup after supper as well, he did that so that we would have a visual symbol, something simple yet profound, to remember his sacrifice, as the bread represents his body and as the cup of wine or juice represents his blood. We are to remember. And Jesus gave us this because he knows we can be forgetful people, right? And so we are to remember as often as we gather together to do this, he says, in remembrance of him. And so as you hear the music play, I'm just going to encourage you to take a moment or two to be with your God. Consider what you heard this morning about your fellowship with the Lord, about the nature of your stewardship of all that he has given you, and what has it been looking like for you to serve him. So take some time, and we like to say don't rush through this, but take some time to reflect and to remember. And when you're done, and as the Spirit leads, I would just ask that you would come up either to this table or to the one in the back on the side and take the elements. You can take a piece of the bread and the cup and return to your seat. And once we've all done that, I will lead us in praying over the bread and the cup, and we will take them together in remembrance of him. So take a few minutes now to reflect and to remember. Thank you. night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said these words, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Church, let's take and eat together in remembrance of him. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying these words, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So church, together, we take this cup, which represents his blood. We take it in remembrance of him until he comes. Let's stand together. We'll close our time singing of that wonderful assurance that we have in him. During our time of reflection and remembrance, we are also reminded that this is a new life, this is a truth, this is a story that we are to go and to tell. God has rescued us and redeemed us that we may have this new life in him, and that we are to tell others that good news. Amen. So let's close our time by singing of that.